Have you ever had that moment? You're, walking down the street, maybe scrolling through some old museum archive online, and you see something, a building, a shadow hitting a brick wall just right, a weird texture on a leaf, and you think, I want to use that. I want to take that vibe and put it into an AI art generator like Midjourney. You sit down, you open the prompt box, crack your knuckles, and then just nothing.
A total blank. You hit a wall.
Exactly. It's prompt paralysis. You know what you saw. You can see it perfectly in your mind's eye, but you just don't have the vocabulary to explain it to a machine. You end up typing, I don't know, cool building or weird shadow, and the AI just gives you garbage back.
It's a language barrier, really. I mean, you're speaking human visual language, which is all emotional and impressionistic, and the computer's just sitting there waiting for, specific optimized text instructions. It wants keywords.
Well, today we are diving into a tool that claims to solve exactly that problem. It's called reprompts. And the promise here is it's pretty wild. It completely flips the script on the whole process. Instead of you struggling to write text to get an image, you give it an image and it gives you the text.
And okay, I have to jump in here immediately to clear something up because this is a really crucial distinction from the source material.
Go for it.
Reprompts does not generate images. It is not an image generator like DALL-E or Midjourney.
Okay, let's unpack that because that sounds backward. If I download this app and it doesn't make pictures, what is it actually doing?
It's a translator. Think of it as a bridge. You feed it a photo of something you took on your phone, something you saved from the web, and it analyzes that image to generate a highly optimized text prompt. It gives you the recipe for that image. Then you take that recipe, that prompt, and you feed it into the heavy hitters, Midjourney, ChatGPT, Grok Comfy UI, you name it, to actually create the final artwork.
So it's like reverse engineering a vibe.
Precisely. It's reverse engineering the aesthetic. It takes the visual data, the lighting, composition, texture, all of it, and it converts it into the specific keywords and parameters that these AI models understand. It turns your visual intent into, well, into code.
I love that. It's like having a translator for computer-ese. So, okay, we have this app, Reprompts, it's on iOS. Let's talk about the workflow. How does this actually look in practice? Because the sources gave us some really specific and honestly kind of trippy examples.
The workflow is designed to be super linear, very simple. You upload a photo or you take one right in the app. Then, and this is the key part, you choose a style. The app doesn't just describe the photo literally, it reimagines it through a stylistic filter to create the prompt.
And the examples they list, okay, let's use the city street scenario from the notes. This really made it click for me. So the base image is just a bustling city street at night, cars, lights, people, that kind of thing.
A standard urban photo, nothing too fancy.
But then you apply these different style filters in the app, and the text it spits out and the image you'd get from that text is just wildly different. So if you choose the cinematic style, what happens?
If you choose cinematic, the app generates a prompt using terms like low angle shot, neon lights, shallow depth of field, and moody atmosphere. It focuses on the drama of it, the lighting, the camera angle.
So it's talking like a director of photography,
It is. It's translating that street into the language of a Hollywood movie.
which is great if you want a movie poster. But then they have this other style called Shan Shui.
Yes, this one is fascinating. Shan Shui is a traditional style of Chinese landscape painting. It literally means mountain water.
So it takes that same noisy electric city street and does what with it?
It translates it into a prompt asking for flowing brush strokes, misty ink washes, and jagged peaks.
No way. It turns a traffic jam into a Zen painting.
Effectively, yes. It reinterprets the vertical lines of the skyscrapers as jagged mountain peaks. It blends the chaos of the city with, and I'm quoting here, ethereal landscape harmony. It's a conceptual translation, not just a literal one.
That is so cool. And then there was one that actually made me laugh out loud. Terrarium World.
This one is very, very specific. It imagines the city inside a minimalist terrarium on a white Muji shelf.
Wait, a Muji shelf. It's really that specific.
It is. The prompt asks for sleek figures and smooth sand blending the colors and frosted glass walls. It's taking the massive scale of a city and just containing it in this clean, modern, miniature world.
It feels like the app is hallucinating creatively for you. Like it sees the street, but it says, yeah, but what if this was a hipster desk ornament?
And speaking of miniature, there's also the miniature style, which is actually distinct from the terrarium one.
Right, that's more like the tilt shift photography look.
Exactly. It uses keywords like volumetric landscapes, precise 3D modeling, and aerial view. It turns the city into a diorama, focusing on that kind of toy-like depth of field.
So just to be clear for anyone listening, you upload one photo of a street, and depending on which button you press, you get a text description for a moody movie, an ancient ink painting, a glass terrarium, or a little toy set. And then you copy that text and paste it into Midjourney to get the final image.
Exactly. It creates the variety for you. And what really stands out to me here is the vocabulary. Volumetric shallow, depth of field, misty ink washes. These are terms that a casual user might not know or, might not think to combine in that way.
It's bridging the gap.
The app is bridging that gap between your intent and the AI's technical needs.
It gets even weirder, though. The sources list an example using an owl, just a picture of a normal owl. And they use the app to reimagine this owl as all kinds of objects.
This part really highlights the creativity of the prompts. It's not just about style, it's about transformation and texture mapping.
Okay, you have to tell me about the owl cake.
Right. This one is delightful. It prompts for a lavish layered cake that resembles a brown and white striped owl.
A cake.
A cake. It asks for thick frosting whorls, fluffy cake layers mimicking feathers, and this is the kicker, sugary toppers as eyes.
Sugary toppers as eyes. I mean, if I just typed owl cake into an AI, I'd probably get a scary mess. I'd get a biological owl sitting on top of a cake or
Or
something.
a cake made of meat, who knows?
Exactly. But thick frosting whorls and sugary toppers, that gives the AI specific texture instructions.
That is the key. It's describing the materiality. It's the same thing with the sport shoe example.
Of the sneaker.
Right. It describes a sneaker where the soles are textured like owl feathers and the stitching mimics plumage. It's asking the AI to map the biological features of the owl onto the manufactured materials of a shoe.
And even architecture, an owl-faced building.
With orange-tinted windows for eyes.
It's wild. It shows that the app understands the geometry of the image, the two circles for eyes, the striped pattern of the feathers, and it can apply that geometry to completely different substances.
It's teaching the user how to think about structure versus skin. The structure is the owl, the skin can be cake or leather or glass.
So we need to move on to what seems to be the power user side of this, because while turning owls into cakes is fun, the sources talk a lot about something called SREF.
Ah, yes.
And this seems to be a huge part of the app's value.
It is. SREF stands for style reference. This is a specific feature in Midjourney, specifically for versions 6 and 7.
Okay, explain this to me like I'm five. What does it actually do?
Normally, when you prompt, you're just using words. You type vintage, colorful, gloomy. But words are, they're imprecise. My idea of vintage might be totally different from yours.
Right.
An SREF code is a way to tell the AI, no, use the aesthetic style of this specific visual reference. It's a shortcut to consistency. It's like a little DNA code for a specific look.
And looking at the data here, the reprompts library is massive.
It's significant, yeah. The source mentions they have 576 prompt styles and 1,865 SREF codes available through the browser login.
Nearly 2,000 codes.
Yes. And why this matters is control. If you're a professional, let's say you're a graphic designer or a brand manager, you can't rely on random generation. You need a consistent look across 10 different images. This app lets you access these codes directly, and you can even mix up to 3 SREF styles per prompt to create these unique blends.
The names of these styles are incredible. I was reading through the list in the source material, and it sounds like something out of a sci-fi novel.
They're very evocative, aren't they?
Just listen to these. Neon Vanguard, Astro Visor, Megacity Skyline Realm, Obsidian Glass. Those sound like they belong in the cyberpunk movie.
They do, and they probably map to these very sleek, high contrast, futuristic aesthetics. Lots of purples and blues, reflective surfaces.
But then you have the total opposite, the nature ones. Midnight Bloom, Frost Weaver, Root Mask.
Twilight Meadowscape.
Yes, it sounds like a fantasy video game. And then the historical ones really caught my eye. Etruscan sarcophagus, Jomon relic, and my favorite, Googie Diner.
That's a great one. Googie Diner refers to that futuristic sort of space age architecture from the 1950s. Think the Jetsons, curved roofs, starburst shapes, all that neon.
See, I know that look, but I had no idea it was called Goody.
Most people don't, and that's the power of this library. If you wanted that look, but you didn't know the term, you'd be stuck typing 1950 space cafe and just, hoping for the best.
Yeah.
With the SREF code for Googie Diner, you lock in that exact architectural style immediately.
There's another one here, Risograph 2-Color.
Ah, yes. Risograph is a specific type of digital duplicator printing. It was really popular in Japan. It has a very distinctive look, grainy texture, imperfect alignment, and usually limited to very bright flat colors like pink and teal.
So by clicking Risograph 2-Color, I'm saving myself from having to type, please make this look like a grainy 2-color print from a cheap duplicator machine from the 80s.
Exactly. And more importantly, you're getting the specific SREF code that Midjourney knows corresponds to that look. It takes all the guesswork out of finding the magic numbers.
It really feels like you're building a library of spells. You just pick the spell for Etruscan sarcophagus and boom, your photo looks ancient.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, it's really about curation. The AI world is flooded with infinite possibilities, and infinite is overwhelming. This app creates a curated menu. It says, here are 1,865 flavors that we know taste good. Pick one.
So who's the chef? Who cooked this up?
Yeah.
Because when I see an app like this with thousands of codes and deep integration, I usually assume it's some massive startup in Silicon Valley or a side project from OpenAI.
And that's what's so fascinating here. It's not. It's a web design studio based in Singapore called Min Love Cat.
Min Love Cat. I love that name. It sounds so friendly.
It's led by a duo, Wayne and Joey.
And are they AI researchers? What's their background?
No, actually, their background, according to the source, is in professional digital solutions. We're talking web design, HTML coding, WordPress development.
So the day-to-day work, building the internet.
Very grounded work. Their client list includes things like the NPARC Annual Report, Corton Interior Solutions, and Mushroom World Academy.
Wait, Mushroom World Academy?
Yeah.
I feel like we need a separate deep dive on what happens at a Mushroom World Academy.
It's on their portfolio list. It sounds fantastic.
That is amazing. So you have these folks building corporate websites and annual reports, and then they just decide to build a tool that turns sneakers into owls.
Well, there's a meta-narrative here that I find really compelling. The source notes that Reprompts is their first iOS app, and get this, it was designed and developed with AI assistance.
Wait, really?
Yes. They are developers using AI to build a tool that helps users use AI.
That is. Wow. It's almost recursive.
It reflects the current state of software development, you know. A small team, maybe just two people, Wayne and Joey, can leverage AI coding assistance to build something that enters a completely new market for them, like iOS apps. That requires a totally different language than their usual WordPress work.
It's walking the walk. They aren't just selling an AI tool. They used AI to make it. They are their own best use case.
Exactly. And it explains why some features, like the browser styles, are marked as LIIP work in progress. It feels like this agile, rapidly evolving project rather than some polished static product from a giant corporation. They're figuring it out as they go, just like their users are.
So what does this all mean for the person listening right now? Maybe they aren't a pro designer. Maybe they just like making funny pictures. Why should they care about Reprompts?
I think the biggest takeaway is democratization.
Okay, go on. Democratization is a buzzword we hear a lot. What does it mean right here?
Well, the source explicitly lists no prompt writing experience needed as a key benefit. For a long time, getting good art out of AI felt like you needed to learn a secret code. You had to know to type Octane Render, Unreal Engine, 8K, volumetric lighting.
Right, the magic words. If you didn't know them, you got ugly pictures.
Exactly. This app removes that barrier. You don't need to know the words. You just need to know what you like visually. If you can pick a photo, you can generate a professional prompt. It shifts the required skill from linguistics back to aesthetics.
It turns it from a coding exercise back into a visual exercise.
Precisely. And for the professional, it integrates into a workflow. The app has a favorites list, so you can save that perfect SREF combo. You can change ratios to blend styles. And it supports multiple platforms like DALL-E and Niji 7.
Niji 7 is the anime one, right?
Yes, that's the anime-specific model of Midjourney. So if you're into anime styles, you can curate that specific look and keep it consistent across a whole manga or a series of illustrations. It turns prompting from a slot machine, where you pull the lever and hope for the best, into a manageable, repeatable process.
I noticed that about the favorites list. It seems like a small thing, but if you stumble upon that perfect combination of cinematic plus owl plus SREF code 123, you absolutely want to save that recipe.
You're building your own personal cookbook of aesthetics. You don't want to lose the recipe for your secret sauce.
It's funny, looking at the source material, seeing names like Neon Bubble and Pastel Hearts right alongside Concrete Retreat, beer can design. It just shows the sheer range of visual culture we're dealing with.
And that's the challenge of the modern era, isn't it? We are drowning in visual styles. There is just too much media. Tools like this help us categorize and navigate all of that.
So Reprompts acts as this creative catalyst. It takes the world around you, your coffee cup, the view from your window, and translates it into the language of the machine.
It makes the visual world a prompt source. Everything becomes input.
Which brings us to the end of our deep dive, but I have a question that's sort of been nagging me through this whole conversation.
Let's hear it.
If we have an app that can look at a photo of a sneaker and describe it as a brown and white striped owl, perfectly enough for a computer to understand it, are we teaching computers to see like us? Or are we just teaching ourselves to speak computer?
That is the question, isn't it? We are essentially building a dictionary for a language that didn't exist 5 years ago. When we agree that SREF code 123 equals Googie Diner, we are reinforcing that specific definition of what Googie means to the AI.
We're all agreeing on the definitions.
We are. We are co-evolving a visual language with the machine. The machine learns from our photos, and we learn from its outputs. Reprompts is just the interface where that negotiation happens.
That is a trip. The idea that we're building a new language together. All right, here's your homework for today, listener.
Always with the homework.
Just a little bit. Look around the room you're in right now. Look at that messy desk or that half-eaten sandwich you're saving for later. And just for a second, try to imagine how you would reprompt that.
Mm-hmm.
Would the sandwich become a layered geological formation? Would the messy desk become a futuristic cityscape?
Or maybe a minimalist terrarium.
Maybe a minimalist terrarium. Everything looks better in a terrarium. Thanks for diving in with us. We'll see you next time.
Bye.